Chaitanya Jayana Chananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Okay, so today is Gopurnim, and we're going to be reading from the Chaitanya Charanamrita, Adi Lila chapter 13, and which is entitled The Advent of Lord Chaitanya. But I'm apologizing in advance to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami because I'm not going to be reading every single word of his perfect presentation, but trying to, you know, selecting different parts of it which help us understand, appreciate events leading up to the advent of Lord Chaitanya, the significance of it, and how it was actually celebrated at the time. But before I even do that, I wanted to share with everybody how Srila Prabhupada celebrated Gopurnim when he first arrived here in America. You know, Prabhupada kept a diary, and there's this book called In the Beginning. So it actually features, it shows you the actual pages with Prabhupada's handwriting. I don't know if you can see it from where you are. You know, Prabhupada kept his diary. And so Prabhupada made an entry in the diary on March 6, 1966. And this is what he said. According to Mayapur Panjika, today is Adivas Day of Gopurnim. Devotees at Vrindavan and Nabadweep are enjoying the celebration. I am here alone without any devotee companion. But I have come here to serve the Lord and not for personal happiness. I am prepared to live in hell even if I am able to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his mission should be propagated all over the world, and that is my objective. I do not mind the inconvenience personally felt. Ace, and he has initials ACB. And then there's a nice couple pictures in here. Let the devotee artists, I don't know if everybody can see. They've done illustrating that particular occasion. Okay. So actually, we heard. Actually, you could put verse, who's ever over there operating the computer, you could put verse 98 up on the board there. But before we go to that, we heard the most important thing this morning about Gopurnim, or the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Swaraspabhu read something from the New Dwarka Savamrita entitled The Understanding of Lord Chaitanya Through Srila Prabhupada, and there was one particular paragraph that really caught my attention as being really significant, important. So I'll just read that. It's a few sentences. It said, in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Lord is the supreme living entity amongst all living entities. There are innumerable living entities, but there is one living entity who is the supreme absolute Godhead. The difference between the singular living entity and the plural living entities is that the singular living entity is the Lord of all. Lord Chaitanya is that supreme living entity. And he descended to reclaim the innumerable fallen living entities. In other words, the specific purpose of Lord Chaitanya's advent was to establish the Vedic fact that there is one supreme personality of Godhead predominating over and maintaining the innumerable personalities of all living entities. So I thought that really kind of captured it. It's like being the essence of the whole today and our whole movement, our whole philosophy. So that was nice. Okay, so now going to today's chapter, the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Now this is verse 98. And everybody could see it up there. I'm not sure if it's Bengali or Sanskrit, but I'll try to. Nadia Uda Udaya Giri Purna Chandra Gora Hari Kripa Kari Haila Udaya Papa Tama Hailanasa Tri Jagatera Ulasa Jagabadi Hari Dvani Haya. And the translation is, thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaurahari, rose in the district of Nadia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. So basically the whole chapter elaborates upon that theme. So we're going to start our reading from text number 10. If you want to put that up on the board. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he starts this chapter by giving actually the first third of the chapter. There's about 150 verses in the chapter. In the first 50, he's giving an overview, a summary of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, his whole life. So I'll read some of those. And then we'll be hearing about the actual advent. So this is text number 10. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya lived in the Grihastha Ashram, household life, always engaging in the pastimes of the Hare Krishna movement. After 24 years, he accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and he resided for 24 years more at Jagannath Puri. Of these last 24 years, he spent the first six continually touring India, sometimes in South India, sometimes in Bengal, and sometimes in Vrindavan. For the remaining 18 years, he continuously stayed in Jagannath Puri, chanting the nectarian Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He inundated everyone there in a flood of love of Krishna. The pastimes of his household life are known as Adi Lila. Well, actually, I won't read that. I'm going to skip over that. So if you can skip ahead to text number 19. Okay. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the full moon evening in the month of Palguna, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented himself with the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna. So this is significant, a significant point here, because Lord Chaitanya was... You know, he had different reasons. I think we heard about this earlier in the week for appearing. There was external and internal. So, and they're related. The external reason was to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And internal reason was he wanted to fill some desires of his own mind. Specifically, he wanted to experience Radharani's love for him. Okay, but that's not also, it's not unrelated to the chanting of the Maha Mantra, because Lord Chaitanya, in his activities to experience, fulfill his own desire of his own mind, he got very absorbed in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a means to that end. You know? So here it's being described how simultaneously, or even before Lord Chaitanya advents, he arranged for the Hare Krishna mantra to advent. And that was characteristic of Lord Chaitanya's activities. He did, everything he did was in ultimately to induce people to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even his appearance. His appearance was not accidental. It was arranged in such a way, we're going to hear about this, I'll mention it because I'm already kind of rolling on this point, that he actually took birth at the time of a lunar eclipse. And now, generally, an eclipse is considered an inauspicious occasion. But in India, traditionally, people who are followers of the Vedic culture, the way they observe an eclipse is because by nature it's an inauspicious occasion. They go and they bathe in the Ganges River, and what do? They chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. See? So, and Lord Chaitanya, being aware of that, knew that, okay, I'll take birth at this particular moment, and everybody's going to go chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, and that will more than counteract the inauspicious effects of the eclipse. And that's exactly what happened on that occasion. And that's further, we'll hear about this as we read on. That's further confirmed because when Lord Chaitanya was in the womb of his mother, his father, Jagannath Mishra, at one point was becoming very concerned because he was there for 13 months. Normally, you know, child is there 9 months, 10 months, or whatever. But he was in the womb of his mother for 13 months, and his father, Jagannath Mishra, was very concerned because he had already, you know, prior to Lord Chaitanya, he had one son, Vishwaroop, and he was doing okay. But prior to that, he had 8 daughters, and each one of them died very quickly. So, you know, he was kind of like, uh-oh, here we go again. Something's wrong. But so he consulted his wife, Sachimata's father, Neelam Bara Chakravarti, who was a famous astrologer. He was, you know, one of the leaders in the Brahminical community and a famous astrologer. And he looked at his chart. He did a chart and he said, no, don't worry. This is some great personality is going to take birth. And this is actually part of an arrangement. He's waiting to take birth at a very auspicious moment, which, as I said, ironically, was the eclipse, but which is ordinarily an inauspicious moment because of what was going to happen. But, you know, what people would be doing to counteract the inauspiciousness of that, and it became auspicious. So anyway, that's something about Lord Chaitanya and the holy name. So it goes on to say, on the full moon evening of the month of Falguna, when the Lord took birth, coincidentally, really wasn't, but coincidentally, there was a lunar eclipse. In jubilation, everyone was chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hari, Hari. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then appeared, after first causing the appearance of the holy name. So he first caused the appearance of the holy name, and then he appeared. At his birth, in his childhood, and in his early and later boyhood, as well as in his youth, Lord Chaitanya, under different pleas, induced people to chant the holy name of Hari, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In his childhood, when the Lord was crying, he would stop immediately upon hearing the holy names, Krishna and Hari. All the friendly ladies who came to see the child would chant the holy names, Hari, Hari, as soon as the child would cry. When all the ladies saw this fun, they enjoyed laughing and called the Lord Gaura Hari. From then on, Gaura Hari became another of his names. His childhood lasted until the date of Hati Kadi, the beginning of his education, and then even during that time, he was always inducing people or encouraging people to chant the Maha Mantra. Actually, during his student years, he was teaching a course in grammar. And he took that opportunity to explain everything, all the grammar in terms of Krishna conscious points in the philosophy. So, you know, everything was geared towards getting people to become more Krishna conscious, primarily by encouraging them to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So there's one purport here, or one text here, talks about how in his youth, Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan. Here, just prior to his youthful life, he began the Sankirtan movement. Day and night, he used to dance in ecstasy with his devotees. The Sankirtan movement went from one part of the town to another, as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtan. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of Godhead. So that's a kind of interesting statement. How did he inundate the whole world by distributing love of Godhead if he's just chanting at that one place at one time? Well, Prabhupada says in the purport, I didn't realize this was there. Prabhupada said, one may raise the question how all the three worlds became inundated with love of Krishna since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan only in the Navadvip area. The answer is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The entire cosmic manifestation results from the Lord's first setting it in motion. Similarly, this Sankirtan movement was first set in motion 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that is spread all over the universe. The Krishna conscious movement in continuity of that same motion is now spreading all over the world. And in this way, it will gradually spread all over the universe. With the spread of the Krishna conscious movement, everyone will merge in an ocean of love of Krishna. So in continuity. So this Krishna conscious movement is the continuity of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement that he began 500 plus years ago in Navadvip in his youth. So it goes on. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in the Navadvip area for 24 years. He induced every person to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and thus merge in love of Krishna. For his remaining 24 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting the renounced sort of life, stayed at Jagannath Puri with his devotees. For six of these 24 years in Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, he distributed love of Godhead by always chanting and dancing. Beginning from Cape Comorin and extending through Bengal to Vrindavan, during these 6 years he toured all of India, chanting, dancing, and distributing love of Krishna. Okay. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on to describe how, well, I'll read it. For the remaining 12 years, so just to give it, make it clearer, it's already really clear, but so for the first 24 years, Lord Chaitanya was in the Grihastha Ashram. Okay, he took a sannyas at 24 years old. Next 6 years, he spent traveling throughout India. He went first to South India, and then he doubled back, and then he went up, going through Bengal up to Vrindavan. That was his, 6 years spent doing that. And, during that time, the program was the same. The program was always the same throughout his entire life. He was, himself chanting and dancing ecstatically. And people who came in contact with him would be transformed. It wasn't like they just kind of like thought, oh, yeah, this is nice, maybe I'll take. No, they became transformed. There's descriptions in the Majalila where actually Suvas Prabhu has been reading him in the morning, hearing when people would come in contact with Lord Chaitanya, they would feel like they would start chanting and they would be chanting in ecstatic love of God. Their lives changed forever from that moment onwards. And not only that, when those people went back to their villages, when they went back home and they met other people, met them, their, former acquaintances, family members, whatever, the same thing would happen to them. They would become transformed and experience ecstatic love of God just by meeting the people who had met Lord Chaitanya, and then further on and on and on. So in that way, it had a tremendous impact, transcendental impact during when Lord Chaitanya was touring. It wasn't just something that just, happened one day and it was forgotten the next. It was there in their lives for the rest of the, for the duration of their lifetime. So Lord Chaitanya did that for 6 years, okay? Then he came back to Jagannath Puri. And then for the next 6 years, he was engaged in congregational chanting with devotees at the temple there. And I remember hearing Prabhupada describe that they would, in the evenings, they would have kirtan for 3, 4, 5 hours. chanting, dancing ecstatically. And then at the end, Lord Chaitanya's order was prasadam. Everybody would be served sumptuously, you know, prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya himself participated and encouraged and participated in these activities for those 6 years. Then, in the final 12 years, in the final 12 years of his life, Lord Chaitanya spent primarily in seclusion in the house of Kasi Mishra, Gambira, which was part of the complex of the Jagannath temple there. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, so he along with two associates, he was accompanied there by Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was his secretary, and Ramananda Roy, who was his confidential associate who he met on the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We've been hearing about that in the morning, on his South India tour. And he realized he was such an amazing devotee that he requested him to retire and spend his remaining days with him in Jagannath Puri. And Ramananda Roy, of course, did that. And so those were his two associates. So during that time, and here's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of that, in what was going on in the Gambira, says, day and night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation from Krishna. Manifesting symptoms of this separation, he cried and talked very inconsistently, like a madman. As Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently when she met Uddhava, so also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished both day and night such ecstatic talk in the mood of Srimati Radharani. The Lord used to read the books of Vidyapati, Jayadev, Chandidas, relishing their songs with his confidential associates like Sri Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar Goswami. So that was the last 12 years. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami spends a few verses here glorifying these pastimes. And he does mention that all this information was obtained through notebooks that were kept by two personalities. Murari Gupta was responsible for the information about the early part of Lord Chaitanya's life, and Swarup Damodar kept notes, which were used later by Raghunath Das Goswami in his discourses in Vrindavan to the other Goswamis. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that's how he learned about all these things, through those discourses. So he mentions that. And he mentions also that the real biographer for the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya is Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he's simply elaborating upon things that he didn't elaborate upon. He's just kind of fluffing it out, so to speak. So he gives credit to Vrindavan Das Thakur in that way. Okay, so then it goes on. To fulfill a particular desire within his mind, Lord Krishna, Brajendra Kumara, decided to descend to this planet after mature contemplation. Lord Krishna therefore first allowed his family of superiors to descend to the earth. I shall try to describe them in brief because it is not possible to describe them fully. And then he spends quite a few texts here just naming all these different personalities, these friends and family members who Lord Chaitanya caused to appear first in preparation for his appearance. And you know, they were all in that area, Navadvipa area. And so it goes on to describe how many of them, they came into the association of each other, and they used to meet at the home of Advaita Acharya. And here's a verse describing their activities. It says, in the house of Advaita Acharya, all the Vaishnavas took pleasure in always talking of Krishna, always worshipping Krishna, and always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is even before the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada, in a very brief purport, he says here, on these principles only does the Krishna consciousness movement go on. We have no business other than to talk of Krishna, worship Krishna, and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Very succinct but powerful purport. So then it goes on and describes how Advaita Acharya how he was feeling at that time. And this is important because he was instrumental in, at least externally, he was instrumental in the advent of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, as we heard, Lord Chaitanya had his own reasons why he wanted, but, you know, how it manifested externally is that Advaitacharya was, I'll read it, Advaitacharya felt pained to see all the people without Krishna consciousness, simply merging in material sense enjoyment. Seeing the condition of the world, he began to think seriously of how all these people could be delivered from the clutches of Maya. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu thought, if Krishna himself appears in order to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all people. With this consideration, Advaitacharya Prabhu, promising to cause Lord Krishna to descend, began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with tulasi leaves and water of the Ganges. By loud cries, he invited Krishna to appear, and this repeated invitation attracted Lord Krishna to descend. So it doesn't specifically say what those loud cries were. I don't know if it was like, if that's referring to the way he was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or something else. It doesn't say, and I don't know. But it's also interesting how he must have had an amazing relationship. Well, he's also Krishna. But he promised to cause Lord Krishna's descent. He was confident that he could do it, and he did. He was instrumental in that, making that happen. So then it says here, before the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eight daughters took birth one after another from the womb of Sachimata, the wife of Jagannath Mishra. But just after their birth, they all died. Jagannath Mishra was very unhappy at the death of his children one after another. Therefore, desiring a son, he worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. After this, Jagannath Mishra got a son named Vishvarup, who was most powerful and highly qualified because he was an incarnation of Baladev. And then it goes and he spends some verses talking about the position of Baladev, which we'll skip over. It says, the husband and wife, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, having gotten Vishvarup as their son, were very pleased within their minds. Because of their pleasure, they specifically began to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. Now, this is the very next text. The very next text says, in the month of January, in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, that's equivalent to AD 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Doesn't give much explanation of things leading up to that, but it just, there, that's what it says. Now, I'm going to read the next half dozen verses or so are interesting because they describe how both Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata could understand that something special was going on. They could, you know, sense it. Well, more than just sense it intuitively, they were experiencing things which indicated to them that, hey, something really special is about to happen. So here they come. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachimata, I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer respect. All people respect me. Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and paddy. So this wasn't going on previously, obviously, but now this is happening. So Sachimata told her husband, now she's replying, she says, I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space as if offering prayers. It's like she's saying, well, if you think what you're experiencing is far out, wait to hear what I have to say, and which is even more incredible. Jagannath Mishra then replied, in a dream, I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart, it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth. So they can understand something special is going to happen. So then it says, after that conversation, they both, the husband and the wife, were very jubilant, and they together rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. Okay, then it talks about what I was mentioned earlier, that how Jagannath Mishra kind of got an anxiety, because it says, in this way, the pregnancy approached the 13th month, but still there was no sign of the delivery of the child. Thus, Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Nilambara Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm sorry, did I get that? I thought he was the father-in-law, Nilambara Chakravarti. Okay, well, then he did an astrological calculation and said that that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Okay, Lord Chaitanya's father's name is Jagannath Mishra. Who's Jagannath Mishra's father? Let's mention. Huh? Isn't something Mishra? Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Paternal grandfather. Okay, that's what my confusion was. Yeah, because I can't remember his name, but Lord Chaitanya's. Jagannath Mishra was his father, and then his grandfather was something Mishra, but I just can't remember. Purandara Mishra, I can't remember. But yeah, okay, this is the maternal grandfather. So anyway, so he did an astrological chart, and he explained to Jagannath Mishra what was going to happen. So then it talks about the actual event, and it explains here that all the people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaurahari, advented himself on the earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. So, joking or non-joking, they were chanting and getting some benefit. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, in the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, and the waves of the rivers. Moreover, In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, as did the waves of the rivers. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. So that was the effect, that, you know, Lord Chaitanya is taking birth, and on that particular time, and by that arrangement, everybody was chanting Hare Krishna, and not just in that local region, but throughout the whole universe, everybody was experiencing transcendental bliss. It says, thus, by the causeless mercy of the full moon, Gaurahari, thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaurahari, rose in the district of Nadia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. So that kind of sums it up, leading up to that moment and that moment, that it was an amazing transcendental occasion. So much, that Lord Chaitanya, it was orchestrated, that Lord Chaitanya, he first, made the holy name advent, and then everybody was chanting and, in ecstasy right at his appearance. And then the rest of the chapter just talks about the reaction of some of his confidential devotees to his appearance. It talks about how when Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur wasn't mentioned yet, but he was also in on it, the whole thing with Advaita Acharya, and he was also strongly, very much desiring Lord Chaitanya to appear. So anyway, the both of them, they when they could see what was going on, they went to the Ganges River, and they took bath, and it was described how they were offering charity by mental strength. And then the rest of the chapter just basically describes how all these different confidential devotees who Lord Chaitanya caused to appear before him, how they were celebrating and observing the occasion. So that's pretty much this chapter. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami concludes the whole thing by saying, anyone who attains a human body but does not take to the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is baffled in his opportunity. Amrita Duni is a flowing river of the nectar of devotional service. If after getting a human body, one drinks the water in a poison pit of material happiness instead of the water of such a river, it would be better for him not to have lived, but to have died long ago. That's practically his concluding words here. So, Lord Chaitanya Kijai. So does anybody have anything they'd like to add to this? To churn the nectar further? Hope I kind of... Yeah, sure. Please.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. When you were mentioning about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole process of him was that whoever he met, he told them about Krishna, and then his followers, they immediately, when they start chanting Hare Krishna, somebody else knew, became interested in Krishna, and on and on and on. So this is very relevant to the present time. And I was just thinking that myself, I didn't know about Krishna, but some devotee who knew about Krishna gave it to me. And most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples in the beginning, every one of them gave Krishna to other people. So, Yaridaka Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh. And I tell you a little story. One time, I was distributing books to one professor, and this lady, she was so excited. She said, oh, this is about Krishna. I said, oh, you know about Krishna? I asked her. She said, yeah, how do you know? She said, oh, in my classroom, we have a boy who really likes Krishna. So, in his birthday, we all got together and we started chanting Hare Krishna. And he was so excited and happy. And in another occasion, I met one person, and I gave him a book. He said, oh, yeah, we get together, we chant. I said, which temple are you from? He said, temple? No temple. I said, but you chant Hare Krishna. How is that? He said, no, because somehow or other we got some books, and we saw the power of the mantra. So among our friends, we get together and we chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. And the ex-wife of Jananivas, who was here, told the story that when she was a little girl, just a little girl, she used to see the Harinam party, and she became so attracted. So this process of Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that sometimes we never know who is going to become attracted. A little kid later on becomes attracted and joins the movement. When I was distributing at the airport one time, one boy, a man already, he was about 35, he told me, he said, I used to see you chanting Hare Krishna, and I always wanted to go and follow you, but my mother wouldn't allow me. But you see, so this powerful movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by having tilak, dhoti, kurtan going and conveying the message is so great that even if we might not see someone like joining now, but they have it there. And then some other devotee distributing books revives them that. They read the books, they come to see the temple and the devotees.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very nice reflection. I'd like to just add something to that, respond to that. That, you know, we heard the other morning, Savas read this purport from the Majalila, how Lord Chaitanya, when he was touring South India, he was at that home of the Brahmin, Korma, I think his name was. So this Brahmin was, a real Brahmin, and he had a nice Krishna-conscious family life, but he became so inspired by Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to renounce all that, and he just wanted to travel with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya actually discouraged him. He said, no, you just stay where you are, and that's where that instruction comes from. He said, wherever you go, wherever you are, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna, and in this way, become guru and deliver everybody. So, you know, we hear about how the Hare Krishna mantra is non-different from Krishna. It's the same. You know, just Krishna. Binat vam nama namino. It's Krishna in the form of the sound vibration. So, I hope I'm saying something that's philosophically correct. This, the attempt, the endeavor, the sincere effort to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, it's also, it's not, Krishna's present in that. Lord Chaitanya is present in that. That's my kind of personal realization. Even yesterday, I kind of felt like I had an example of that. I went out on book distribution with Bhakta Anil, and we tried a couple schools. The first one we went to, somehow or another, they were in midterms. There was practically nobody there, so we couldn't really stay. We went to another school, and it had been done so much that it was virtually impossible to do, and we got kicked out anyway. So then it was still, you know, plenty of time left in the day, and I said, oh, God, you know, what to do? So I said, well, we'll go to this school, and maybe, you know, East LA College. It was a two-year college, and I kind of figured there's not going to be anybody there, but anyway, something's better than nothing. So we went there, and there was, sure enough, there was practically nobody there. But we got there, and I was chanting, and I just started hearing the sound vibration. You know, I just felt, oh, wait a second, something's going to happen here. It was like when they, you know, with a Geiger counter, when they're looking for gold. I just felt, I was chanting, Hare Krishna, and I could feel the transcendental sound vibration. And I knew from that, something's going to happen. So I said, okay, let's do it anyway. Set up the table. So we put the table down. And before we could even get many books down on the table, some guy comes walking by, looked like with a big smile on his face. And I just immediately said, okay, you know, just grab some books, start. He took a big stack of books, gave a nice donation. And then, okay, then again, there was nobody, you know, and we kept setting up the table. And then some other guy comes along and, what's going on here? You know, he was studying to be a drug counselor or something like, for, you know, help people get rehabilitated. He took a big stack of books, gave a donation. And it was, right? It was like one after another, Krishna just was sending these people. The campus was empty, you know. I mean, you couldn't see more than three or four people on, as far as you looked at any given time. But the point is Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, is just like he's present in the holy name, he's present in this sincere endeavor to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's also non-different from, I think, from Lord Chaitanya. That's what Prabhupada's saying here. You know, we can see. This is what Prabhupada's saying on Gaur Purnima. Prabhupada's saying, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his mission should be propagated all over the world, and that is my objective. This is why Prabhupada's, you know, sharing with us is how his what's going on. It's Gaur Purnima, and he's saying, well, I'm here by myself. All the devotees are in Mayapur and in Vrindavan. They're celebrating, and I don't have any association, but anyway, I'm not worried about it because I know, I have confidence that this is really what's important. And this is, not that that's not important, but this is really, you know, this is what Lord Chaitanya wanted. This is what my spiritual master wanted me to do. And, you know, so he's saying like that. Lord Chaitanya wanted his mission to be propagated all over the world, and that is my objective. I do not mind any inconvenience personally felt. So, yeah, that's how Prabhupada was, you know, what he was thinking on Gaur Purnima, even though he was all by himself like that. Hope that's relevant. Yes, Swaspu.
I thought another nice thing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance was that at the time that he took birth in that particular area, they considered the neem tree to be a very powerful, not only for medicine, but it would keep away a lot of demons and bad omens. So in every house, in front of every house at that time, there would be a neem tree planted in front of each person would do that. So it was very interesting that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth at that particular time. And so because the tree was very powerful, it was had a lot of medicinal, you know, good qualities to it. So his mother, Sita, she called him Nimai, like after the neem tree.
Right, yeah.
So that's how he got the name Nimai. And later on, he was Nimai Pandit because of his scholarly ability. So that was just a curious thing to know how he got that name Nimai because of the neem tree, which was an auspicious tree, which was in front of the house. And so his mother called him Nimai.
John.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We hear that Krishna wants the living entities back home, back to Godhead, more than the living entity even desires. And Lord Chaitanya, being the most merciful incarnation, he's giving us a very easy process to go back home, back to Godhead. But he only comes once in a day of Lord Brahma, and for a 10,000-year golden period, at least in this day of Brahma. I don't know how it is in other days of Brahma. So it's like 10,000 years in one day of Brahma, which is millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
billions of years.
Yeah. Billions of years. And before Lord Chaitanya, self-realization was much more difficult. And even then, most of the incarnations would offer like Vaikuntha liberation. So I'm just thinking, if Krishna wants us back home, back to Godhead, more than we want to go back home, back to Godhead, why is it that Lord Chaitanya only comes in a very small period of time?
Well, the thought that comes to my mind is just like parents, you know, parents have, imagine just parents and they have a bunch of children and some of the children are off, you know, and they really want their children to come back home again, right? But, you know, they're not prepared and they're prepared to kind of make certain concessions and do certain things to, in an attempt to achieve that, you know, to get the kid back home. But it takes two to tango. So in other words, like the living entities have to do something. It can't, you know, it can't be one way. It's, you know, living entities have to be prepared to reciprocate. So I guess Krishna and Lord Chaitanya consider this an adequate arrangement. Right? Krishna's intelligence is perfect, so he considers this an adequate arrangement that after, you know, in every day of Brahma, Krishna appears, and then just some certain amount of time after that, Lord Chaitanya appears, and here's this opportunity. And it's not an accident which living entities are present in you know, to take advantage of it at any particular time. It's all arranged. So, yeah, it's sufficient. We shouldn't think that there's something, how would you say it, something lacking in the arrangement of the Lord. Otherwise, how could Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami make this statement right at the end, right? That last thing I read, you consider that would be super fanatical. No, there are certain assumptions underlying what he's saying here. He's saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who attains a human body but does not take to the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is baffled in his opportunity. If after getting a human body, one drinks the water in a poisoned pit of material happiness instead of the water in such a river, it would be better for him to not have lived, but to have died long ago. So he's not taking the side that you're taking. His mood is not that, well, you know, actually, it's really what Lord Chaitanya did is nice, but it's really not good enough. No, it's good enough. His mood is so good that he's criticizing people who don't take advantage of it. He's not trying to present the other mood of that, well, it's really, yeah, I sympathize with those people because really what Krishna and Lord Chaitanya have done is not sufficient. No, he seems to, I mean, once again, it's underlying, but no, it's completely sufficient. And people who don't take advantage of it, they're very unfortunate and blah, 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 etc. Yeah, okay, and then I'll go on to somebody else.
For the next 10,000 years, there'll be auspiciousness?
Yes. Yeah, he was even considering that. He was considering, well, if Krishna wants us to back to Godhead more than we even want to go, why 10,000 years? Why not? But I'm saying Krishna knows what he's doing, and that's adequate. Yeah, Judakarampu, please.
Somebody can correct me if I'm not remembering this correctly, but wasn't there a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur? Except when Lord Chaitanya comes, everybody's delivered. And it was said that, yeah, everybody can be delivered, the entire universe, just by that, his presence. but then it would fill up again because there are so many conditioned souls. Am I remembering it correctly?
Yeah, that was stated.
Which actually brings me to my next question that I was going to ask before. Okay. The conversation between Vasudev Dutt and Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya says that he delivers the entire universe. Wouldn't this go against, we hear like Krishna will not force a living entity to love him. We hear the example that the living entity is not a robot. But isn't this going against the living entity's free will that Lord Chaitanya just delivers everyone in the universe, even if they're envious and they want to stay here?
Okay. That's a good question. I mean, it's a reason. It's kind of the answer probably beyond my pay grade, but it says liberate. It doesn't say that he bestows upon a pure love of Krishna.
It says go back to the spiritual world.
Okay. Well, even after going back to the spiritual world, you can come back here. Prabhupada was asked that, and it is possible. So, you know, it's a benediction that, you know, people, living entities received as a result of the appearance of Krishna, Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya. But it's stated, unless there's some other way of understanding it, but they could also come back if they want to. I mean, it's not like you're forced to stay, be liberated. You can be unliberated at any moment. If you want to unliberate yourself, who's stopping you? But that doesn't take away from, through the karma, from the mercy that was being offered.
You could say that Lord Chaitanya is so attractive and merciful that everyone decides to exercise their free will in the proper way. Just like, you know, if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come as a representative of Lord Chaitanya, we wouldn't have had the chance to exercise our free will and in a way that we could become Krishna conscious in one lifetime. You know, maybe, you know, after many, many lifetimes of practicing, you know, pious acts, you know, you might get qualified, but because Lord Chaitanya's mercy came, we had the chance to exercise our free will. So maybe when Lord Chaitanya personally comes and is present, everyone, no matter what condition they're in, get that opportunity to exercise their free will so as to accept his mercy.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That's an interesting point. Another Shambhapriya, please.
Okay, Hare Krishna. I always understood that, you know, as everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord Krishna, that those people who take birth at that time, that's a benediction. So they're already, like, you know, ripe, one could say, that they take birth in the particular place where they get the contact, and therefore it's like that.
Okay. Prema Sankirtan.
How will Hare Krishna Maha Mantra spread all over the universe, how it all happened?
I don't know. Well, okay, one thought came to my mind, that there's some statement by Jiva Goswami that unless you are prepared to accept the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord, you can't understand Krishna consciousness. Krishna has inconceivable potencies, and that's like one of the fundamental understandings of Krishna consciousness. Exactly by what mechanism it will happen, I don't know. But it could happen. I mean, it can happen. Krishna can do it. He can make it happen. I'll give you an example. Well, go ahead, you can go if you need to. But yesterday morning, I was here in Mangalarti, and I was just there, and I think I showed up a couple minutes late, and I was kind of not in great consciousness. I don't remember what I was thinking, but I was, I was chanting, and all of a sudden, I just started feeling like the bliss of chanting. And so what's going on? I was feeling it, but at the same time, I was, just started my independent thinking. I was like, "Well, what's going on here? Why is this happening?" And then I thought, "Well, you know what? The holy name is a person, and the holy name has to reveal to you." So just like if you're, this is kind of like my own understanding. Imagine you're sitting with somebody on a bus or a train or a plane. They're sitting next to you. But you don't talk the whole time. You don't get to know anything about that person. That person has to talk to you. And then when they talk to you, then you get to know something about them. It's the same thing with the holy name. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, you could be chanting, but not necessarily experiencing anything. Krishna, you have to please Krishna. We have to please the spiritual master and Krishna by our service. And then they reveal. So that's that verse. It talks about those. But when Krishna is pleased by our service attitude, then he reveals himself. So there I was, standing there chanting and kind of feeling kind of absorbed in blissful chant. Well, yesterday I worked really hard on Sankirtan, and maybe Krishna is reciprocating today, this morning at Mangalarti, with what, the service I was trying to do yesterday on Sankirtan. So that was one realization I got, that, Krishna reveals, he has to reveal himself to you in order for you to. And he could do that. It was inconceivable. Why would that happen? But it happened. And then the other thing was that, and this was an interesting thought, that I could understand that even this, I was standing there chanting and I was feeling like a taste for the chanting, but I could fall into Maya. In other words, if I wanted to, I could start thinking about sense gratification. That was there. That option was there. So it just maybe gave me a realization about, like, in the spiritual world, how could you, a lot of times devotees raise the question, how could you fall down from the spiritual world? If we're in the spiritual world and we're in a developed, loving service relationship with Krishna, you're tasting the bliss and the excellence, how could you deviate, how could you leave that? You can. That was kind of what I concluded from my little experience yesterday morning, that I was chanting, I was experiencing a taste, but then I could easily see how, I could just allow my mind to think about this or that. And then if I pursue those thoughts, then you get absorbed in something. And Krishna, just like he reveals, he can unreveal. And then you're with what you want. So I don't know if that answered your question. But, yeah, go ahead. Agni Dave. Use the mic, okay?
Narad Muni.
Yeah.
He goes all over the universe chanting. And Narad Muni Bhajai Vino Radhika Ramana Ramana Namine. He goes, the prophet says, he goes all over the universe chanting the Maha Mantra and spreading it to people. So that's another inconceivable. We used to call Narad Muni the transcendental spaceman. Okay?
Thank you.
I was just reflecting that also in the time when Srila Prabhupada was present, and in the time of Srila Prabhupada, his godbrothers doubted the statement that Priti Vite Acheyate Nagaradikrama, that the holy name will be spread. And he says, how is that possible?
The God brothers were.
God brothers, like very advanced devotees. But one personality did it, Srila Prabhupada, came to America. That's what I said. Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pravartan. One who has it, he can give it to other ones. And you get infected. infected with that contagious, nam that they give you. But it requires that it's a pure devotee. So if you become pure, if I become pure, if every one of us become pure, then we can do it. Otherwise, it's inconceivable.
Yeah,
we cannot understand.
That's a good point. Okay. In case anybody's wondering, it's Gaur Purnim. There's no breakfast this morning. It does say in the Bhagavad Gita that the devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss in lightening one another and conversing about me. So that's why I'm allowing this to kind of go on a little bit.
I was just going to respond.
Go ahead, Prabhu. Do you have a question?
I would like to respond to your question. And what comes to my mind is just the way our minds are wired. So the part of our brain that processes emotion, which is energy in motion, which Krishna sends these energies through, and we are experiencing, they've been here before us and they'll be here after us. And so the part of our brain that processes these emotions, like, oh my gosh, there's this emotion, energy moving through me. And then the part of our brain that processes language, they don't really communicate very well. Or it's like a practice. So when they get poets, or you hear musicians, or you hear these stories translated into English, it's like, oh my gosh, namaste means like a whole paragraph in order for us to conceptualize that vibration. And so that's like a scientific reason why it's difficult for us to put words to the sensations that are coming through our body. So Krishna gave us our body and our mind, and the more we listen to that, like I feel it right now. And I'm just going to call it, because that's the most encompassing word I can think of right now. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you for thinking very deeply about this philosophy. Okay, thank you very much. Gruntaraj Srimad, Gruntaraj Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, Ki Jai. Yeah, Pendra Mishra, right, yeah. In New York, when I got confused, I said his grandfather, I said, wait a second, how did that be? It was Jagannath Mishra, Pendra Mishra. But it was Archie Point, his maternal grandfather. Yeah. His father-in-law's father. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pascha Chatesha Tarine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda So it's a little late, but anyway, we're going to sing Udila Aruna, even though it's already 9 o'clock. Chamani gora mani jage Pakata samahalai sati Kelanakara prache Pakata samahaloi sati kelanakara praje Pakata Tatai tatai pachiloko Gana gana tahi jajiraro Gana tahi jajiraro Preme zala zala sunaranga Charani nupura pate Kunda madhava yada bahari Polina pola rei badana bori Nichini dabasi gela re rati Divyasi sari rasa je Aman tulaba manava deho Payaki kora pavana keha Ebina pajile yashara sutta Charami puri pilaje Number four. Utita tapana hoi asta Nakela poli hoi bibi asta Utita tapana hoi le asta Nakela poli hoi bibi asta Tapike no ebi ala so hoi Napajur hridoi raje Jivana nitya jana hasa tahina navida vipadaba Namasraya kuri jatani tumi takapana kaje Chivera kalyana sadhana kam Chagata seya madurana Avidya timira tapana rupe Rikagane biraje Krishna nam shuddha koriya pan charaya pakati vinada pran Krishna nama bina kichu nahi kara charabhuvana mahate Nama bina kichu nahi kara Charabhavana maje Chief Chago, Chief Chago Gora Chandra Pole Kutta Nidra Jamaya Pisa Chira Kole Ajipapaliya ese samsara bitore buliya rohile tumi apirya rapare. Tumare loiti mi ami hoinu avatara. Ami binu bandua ke yachi tumare. Ena si asadi maya nasi bara laji. Hari nama maha mantra lautu mi maji. Bhakti Vinoda Prabhu Chanane Pariya. Say Hari Nama Mantra Loilo Magiya. Jeev Chaka Jeev Chaka Gora Chandra Pole. Kutha Nidra Jamaya Visajira Kole. When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice-born, Lord Gurusunda awakened, and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, towns and villages. He played the mridanga and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gauranga's simmering golden features danced and his footbells jingled. All of the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yasoda and slowly fall through the last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This life is temporary, full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in all the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Lord Gauranga is calling, wake up, wake up sleeping souls, how long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? You have forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the world of birth and death. Lord Gauranga says, I have descended just to save you, other than myself, you have no friend in this world. I have brought the medicine which will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you are suffering. Take this Maha Mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I fall at the feet of at the Lord's feet and take this Maha Mantra. Sing something else. Why don't we sing Gauranga Karuna Kora? Gauranga Karuna. It's in the I don't think I've been able to answer. Let's sing something else, because I think. Goranga polite habe puloka sharira hari hari polite nai yani babi nira in three. Goranga polite habi pulaka sharira hari hari bolete nai ani babi nira. Sharira Hari Hari Polite Nai Yani Babi Nira Thank you. sharira hari hari bolte nahi yani bapini Vishaya chariya kabe shudaha vimana kapihama herba shi brindavana Vishaya chariya kabe shudaha bhimana abhihamahe bo shi brindavana Thank you. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Mora Asha Pratana Karo Ye Sada Narottama Dasa Karuna.